The specific reason for the award this year that you guys got was a strategy you executed called Profit Related to Orders. Explain what that means.
Actually, the strategy, the name of the strategy, just to be perfectly precise, is called Profit Related to Offer.
To Offer, yes. Let's be
precise. Profit Related to Offer, which commonly gets shorthanded to the acronym PRO. The PRO concept that we used was, and the award that that the team received was related to, as you said, competition in acquisition excellence. The situation the Navy found itself in is, like you had said in the introduction, this is a very long-serving class. From 1985 until 2005, the Navy placed contracts for 62 of these ships. And after 2005, the Navy had decided that 62 was the right number, and they went on to make investments in other shipbuilding classes.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2010, the Navy decided to restart the production line because of the growing ballistic missile defense threat and because of the sophisticated radars carried by these ships. They were able to be modified in order to give a very good capability against ballistic missile defense, so the Navy decided to place orders for more of them. Historically, the ships had always been built at two different yards, one up in Bath, Maine, owned by General Dynamics, the other in Pascagoula, Mississippi, owned by Huntington Ingalls. And both yards had been producing ships throughout those 20 years of shipbuilding. And we always had enough ships so that we would compete for those ships. And one yard would sometimes win some, and the other yard would sometimes win. And over the course of time, those 20 years, they had roughly even shipbuilding. But because the Navy and the nation wants to maintain two viable shipbuilders for the DDG class, and because that initial set of ships that we were reordering was going to be a relatively small buy, we needed to do something to keep both shipbuilders building ships, but at the same time have competition. So what we did was what we called profit related to offer. We allocated the ships, each shipyard of the first four. Each shipyard got two of the first four ships that the Navy restarted, but they had to compete for their profit. The shipyard, rather than bid us a price, each shipyard would bid us a cost of what they thought it would cost them to build the ship. The shipyard with the lower cost would be awarded the winner's profit, which we had predetermined, and the shipyard with the higher cost would get a smaller profit based on how much higher they were than the high-cost shipyard. This meant that it was in both shipyards' interest to give us the lowest cost that they could reasonably achieve. We got very competitive bids from both shipyards, and it allowed us to award those first four ships and get them all under contract. And now two of those ships are actually under construction, and the other two will start construction soon, and they're under contract with the yards, each ordering materials and long lead time equipment so that they can start construction.
And in that scenario, is the risk entirely on the yard if they don't meet the cost that they have estimated for you?
In this case, we could have done what we call the firm fixed price contract. What we did was something called a fixed price incentive.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take what they bid at cost and add in the profit, if they overrun that, the government will cover half their overrun, and half their overrun is on them up to a certain point that was determined in the contract. Above that point, they're responsible for the entirety of the overrun. So there's a little bit of margin where if they bid a little too aggressively, there's some risk sharing, and they own it after a certain point. We also allow them that if they go under, they get to keep half of their underrun. Half of that underrun would come back to the taxpayer. So in both cases, there's a give and take there around the target, so that good performance rewards the company. They get more profit, but it also helps the taxpayer. We get some money back on the ship, and then we share the risk over as well.
And is there any way of knowing how much total savings this has brought to the government? Has anyone gone back and looked at potentially what the government would have spent?
We had an amount of where we would have been at if it had been a straight negotiation. That's the number that across the fiscal years 10, 11, and 12, across those three fiscal years, it's been estimated that we saved roughly $300 million.
That's real money. Are there any downsides to having this class of ship produced by two different yards? I mean, dissimilarities in the two different ships? Can you tell the difference between a DDG-51 built in Maine and one built in Mississippi, or more importantly?
Interestingly enough, we have processes to make sure that that's not the case, and we actually have a separate contract from the shipbuilding with each yard to maintain a common class design. So I'm been in active duty for 23 years, and 10 of that was at sea, and two different ships of this class I've served on. And the answer is no. From a sailor standpoint, you really can't tell the difference when you're on it between a Bath-built ship and an Ingalls-built ship. Both of the shipyards build the ship. It's very adequate. There are some very minor differences that are mostly cosmetic in nature. You might walk into a given passageway and say, hey, that pipe that's, you know, if I go to the ship of the other builder, is, you know, in a slightly different location. But from the way the sailors operate it, there's no difference between a Bath ship and an Ingalls ship.
And in the minute or so we have left, I'm sure you'd be the first person to admit that on a big acquisition like this, it's really a team effort. Talk about the value of your team and how you've seen that maybe even improve.
Well, this is totally a team effort. And in fact, this was the work of 2 years, and I'm humbled because I've had the program for the last year. My predecessor, Captain Pete Lyle, had it for the first year into this effort, and then he retired after 25 years of service to the country. And it was my privilege to relieve him. And it was a 10-person award, and that was nice. Those 10 civilians who were the named recipients each received cash bonuses as part of the award. But my program office is a team of about 50 people. Each one of them had a role in this. We also were supported by other government workers in the Naval Sea Systems Command, our program attorney, our contracting officer, the ship's design manager. All gave us wonderful support as we put together the acquisition strategy and the technical design package and the bid package, all the things that we needed to get there. And then also Navy leadership. My boss's boss, Secretary Sean Stackley, was very key because without their support and leadership in getting this through Navy approval. It was well over $2 billion of ship acquisition, something that required approval at the highest level. I had great support from my chain of command in order for us to move forward on this.